course of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top 6 tips for using FastPass Plus at Epcot. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 48 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of November 22nd, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please hang around until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. Whether or not you enjoy the extra planning that comes with My Disney Experience and FastPass Plus, the reality of the current situation at Walt Disney World and planning a vacation there is that planning ahead is important. If you don't plan ahead, you are almost guaranteed to spend more time waiting in lines and maybe missing out completely on some experiences. Today, we're going to discuss some important considerations that will help you make the most of your planning by looking at the top 6 tips for using FastPass Plus at Epcot. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who has spent many an hour waiting in line for Soarin' at Epcot, Kathleen Wolf. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Herb, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent, and yes, waiting in line for Soarin' is very, very painful. I don't recommend it.
It seems like you have a 4-mile trek to actually get to where the ride is anyway, and if you have to stand while you're walking, or while waiting and standing for that 4 miles, that just makes it all the more painful.
I'm telling you, it is a workout and a half just to get there, and then to just stare at the walls in that hallway for, you know, what seems like hours and hours. You know, definitely, it's nice to have a smartphone with you, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
At the time.
Exactly. And as we sit here in 2015, I think a lot of folks are looking forward to the extra theater opening for Soarin'. Hopefully that will help. But sometimes I wonder if it will just attract even more people because the rumored movie change. And so maybe Soarin' will just forever have a long standby line.
I'm sure it will. I mean, I go on it each time I go, you know, I multiple times. I love that ride. And just the fact that it's going to have a new movie soaring around the world, you know, is speculated. I can't wait. And, you know, if I have to, I'll wait on the line, but I'll try and plan my best so I don't have to wait that long.
Bingo. That's the key, and that's what we'll talk about today. But before we get into that topic, we have the beloved warm-up question. Are you ready?
I'm never quite ready for these, but go ahead.
Disney's Polynesian Resort or Disney's Polynesian Village Resort?
Oh, well, luckily they're both the same resort, but the name, I love that they reverted back to Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. I do. I'm such a fan of the nostalgia of everything. And when they made that announcement, I was very, very happy.
Yeah, me too. I like it when Disney simplifies the names of things, and sometimes you would think sticking an extra word in the name of something to make it even longer is not such a great idea, but I do fall for nostalgia almost every time. I like the fact that it went back to the original name, and I thought it was interesting about how the timing came out, and if I remember right, it was during the construction process, and some people were up in arms about the remodeling of the lobby, and then the new name came out as a way, I think, to let folks know that Disney was listening to the fans, that they were paying attention to the history, and even though they were, in some sense, changing the character of the design of the lobby and the resort itself, there was still a careful eye on looking back to some of the things that made the Polynesian Village Resort something that people really loved.
Yeah, I love when they do that. They listen to what their fans and their visitors really appreciate about the resort itself. And when they made that move, I was very, very happy.
Yeah, me too. It was a good move. Okay, so let's get into the topic for today, the top 6 tips for using FastPass Plus at Epcot. And Kathleen, we're over to you for number 1.
Okay, so number 1 for using FastPass at Epcot is you have to understand that Epcot attractions use a tier system when selecting FastPass. So it's very unlike the Magic Kingdom where you can just select 3, you know, any 3 that you like. In Epcot, there are 2 tiers. There's Tier 1 that includes Soarin', Test Track, Illuminations, and Living with the Land. Tier 2 would include Mission Space, Turtle Talk with Crush, Spaceship Earth, The Character Spot, Captain EO, Journey into Imagination with Figment, and The Seas with Nemo and Friends. Now, in Tier 1, you can only choose one. So, of course, the two most popular attractions in Epcot, Soarin' and Test Track, are in that tier. So you have to choose only one. And then in Tier 2, you get two other attractions to total your three FastPass pluses for the day. But then after your third, if you're still in the park and there are still FastPasses to be had, you can go ahead and try and secure a fourth or a fifth or a sixth, depending on the crowds and how long you plan to stay.
Very good. So I think understanding this tiered system is really important because it is different and it adds, I think I can say, an extra level of complexity. So you can't just pick any three. You have to pick one from tier one and two from tier two. And so if you go in thinking, well, mine are going to be Test Track and Soarin' and Illuminations, isn't going to work that way. The system won't let you do that. I wish it did, but it just doesn't work that way. So it's important to understand the fact that this tiering is in place at Epcot, and it's not in some other places like at the Magic Kingdom and Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Right, and like you said, it adds some complexity to it, but also some frustration.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that going in and you do think, well, I'll just get Soarin' and then Test Track and then we'll have, you know, a FastPass location for the fireworks at night, it's just not going to happen. So definitely that's a great tip to know and understand the tiers and what attractions you can and cannot get FastPass Plus for.
Very good. And I think that is really, if people walk away with nothing else about FastPass planning at Epcot, aside from this tip, that's probably the one to walk away with, to know that there are these tiers and that you need to take them into account as part of your planning. Okay, good.
Definitely.
So number one. So number two is over to me. And I think I have to preface number two by saying a lot of what we're going to talk about really depends on a person's individual preferences and what they want to do. So I'm assuming that people have an interest in many of the attractions or all of the attractions at Epcot. And in so assuming that, there are certain ones which are thrill rides and are extremely popular. So I'm going to assume that you want to experience those. There are some people, though, who may not have an interest in thrill rides. That would change the equation. But for the purpose of our conversation, I'm going to say most people we're talking about are interested in most all of the attractions. And if that's the case, then what do you do? So with that long and rambling introduction, I'm going to say my number two is to fast pass one headliner and then hit the other one first thing in the day. So we talked about Tier 1 includes both Test Track and Soarin', two of the most popular attractions at Epcot. My suggestion is that you should use a FastPass Plus reservation for one of those two attractions, either Test Track or Soarin', and then make sure you get there early and ride the other one first. So what I will often do is I will get a fast pass for Soarin' because, like so many folks, I really like Soarin' and it almost always has a super long line. But then if I want to ride Test Track, I'll make sure I get there early in the day and I will go to Test Track first. And by doing that, you've got a better chance of hitting those two extremely popular attractions with low wait times. You can't get Fast Pass Plus for both of them, but you can get a fast pass for one and then hit the other early in the day.
Absolutely. For us, I mean, we usually plan our days around what we're going to eat. So if we plan on having breakfast over at Sunshine Seasons in Epcot, then we know we are going to fast pass Test Track because first thing in the morning, we're going to go ride Soarin'. As soon as we're done with that, we're going to have breakfast. But if we decide we're going to have lunch at Sunshine Seasons, then we will head over to Test Track in the morning, fast pass Soarin' for around lunchtime, and so we have made our way back, we've had lunch, then we soar, or we soar, and then we have lunch. So it's just, you know, it's really a matter of planning out your day smartly in terms of everything that you plan to do. You have to make the best use of this Fast Pass Plus.
Good point. And I also like how you're talking about the importance of thinking about the other things you're going to do. So planning your attractions is an important part, and that's what we're talking about today with FastPass Plus. But that doesn't stand on its own. You need to think about, are you making some dining reservations? Where are you making them? How do you coordinate the time so that you're not adding unnecessary extra miles to your already long walk for the day? So that's also a really good point about considering the full picture of your day at Epcot. Okay, good. So, FastPass 1 and hit the other early in the day. So that was number 2. So number 3, Kathleen, we're back over to you.
Okay, so number 3, we had just discussed the Tier 1 attractions, Soarin' and Test Track, which are the most popular ones in Tier 1. So what do you do with Tier 2? You've got Mission Space, Turtle Talk with Crush, Spaceship Earth, Character Spot, Captain EO, Journey into Imagination, and the Seas with Nemo and Friends. In my opinion, if you're an adult or, you know, a teen that loves thrill rides, Mission Space would be the best use of your Tier 2 Fast Pass. If you have young children, then I would suggest using that Fast Pass for either the Character Spot or perhaps the Seas with Nemo and Friends if you plan to be there in the middle of the afternoon. Otherwise, the line isn't really that long for that. But to get the maximum usage out of a Tier 2 FastPass Plus, I would suggest Mission Space for those thrill seekers or the Epcot Character Spot.
Mm. Good tip. So as I think about the tiers, sometimes I think, well, Tier 1 or Group A, you know, I need to make a choice there. Okay, but what about Group B? Do I just throw that away? Is there any good use for Group B? And I think there are. And I think you've really hit the two that would make the most sense. I think using a FastPass Plus reservation for your Group B or Tier 2 as Mission Space or the Epcot Character Spot are some of the highest and best uses for a FastPass Plus reservation there. Good. All right. So number 4 is over to me. So you just talked about the best uses for Group 2 or Tier B. I'm going to talk about the worst uses for Group B or Tier 2. Now, my apologies if some things I mentioned here are the things that people love and, you know, they want to get on with no wait, but there usually is no wait for these. So I would say Journey into Imagination with Figment very rarely has a wait. So I would not use that as a Group B or a Tier 2 reservation for FastPass Plus. I would also say Turtle Talk with Crush normally doesn't have a very long wait time. So I think if I were going to say where not to use Group B, I would pick Turtle Talk with Crush. I would pick Journey into Imagination.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Journey into Imagination with Figment, I mean, it's usually a walk-on. If for some reason people just don't gravitate over there, and that would be definitely a waste of a fast pass. But sometimes, you know, the way you plan your day and what you've done, they make you choose a third fast pass. So, you know, sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And it is okay to not use a FastPass Plus reservation. So you have to pick 3. You don't have to use all 3. You may want to plan to use all 3 if you're going to try to get extra ones during the remainder of the day. This will be interesting. So I have not really had much luck in using all 3 and getting additional reservations after those 3 are gone. Have you had any luck in doing that, Kathleen?
You know what, Herb, I haven't, because the way I plan, I get to the parks very early, and I do all the headliners without FastPass first, and then I save any repeats I want to do for later in the evening. So after my third is done, there's nothing left to be had anyway. Mm. So that's just been my strategy. So no, I've never done that, but I may have to try that, you know, for science.
For research purposes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The impression I get, and this is not proven, but trying to get additional FastPass Plus reservations after you've gone through the first 3 it feels like a long shot to me. Now, maybe folks can write in and let me know if you've had luck with a strategy of trying to do your FastPass Plus early in the day and getting extra ones after those 3 are gone. But the feeling that I get is that probably just doesn't happen very much. I certainly wouldn't count on it. So it's a wild card whether or not there's going to be anything available after you get through your first 3.
I tend to agree wholeheartedly there with you.
Yeah, good.
I think it's kind of just a consolation. Oh, well, yeah, you can only choose three now, but you can get more. You can get more. You know, we're not limiting you, but the reality of it is it's not very likely.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the perfect word. It just feels like a consolation where in all likelihood you're going to get three, and it was more just a nice marketing statement that you could get more, but I don't think anybody ever really gets any more.
I don't think so either.
Okay, good. That was number four, the worst places to use your tier B. Number five, we're back over to you.
Okay, so another tip. There are a few attractions throughout Walt Disney World that offer a single rider line, which means if you are planning to just ride alone or your whole family is cool with just riding alone, they need single riders to fill attraction vehicles to make sure they are maximizing these vehicles, not sending them out half empty. So at Test Track, they offer a single rider line, and very often the wait time is about half of the standby wait time. So even if the people in your party don't want to go on again, but you do, you know, you can just hop on the single rider line, wait half the time, and enjoy yourself. It's a great tip. There aren't very many attractions, but Test Track is one of them. It's wildly popular, and it's a great use of this tip in maximizing not really FastPass, but enhancing that FastPass experience without having to burn one.
Mm. Yeah, great point. I think a lot of people don't realize that there's a standby single rider line, for a Test Track. And just as you say, the wait is usually half. You can really save a lot of time. So if you want to do that attraction again, or if you don't mind taking a shot at not getting to ride with your other parties, especially if you're doing this for a second time or a third time in a single day, the single rider line is a great idea for Test Track.
Absolutely. We've done it, and we've stood in line, and we basically are in one car right after the other. So it's not like even if you're with someone and you're riding single rider, you're going to have to wait a long time for the other person that you're waiting with. It's pretty fast moving, and it's a really great option. I wish they offered it on more attractions.
Yeah, me too. And that's a good point, too. I think some people are concerned about going single rider because they're thinking, well, someone in my party is going to go, and then, you know, 15 minutes later, they're going to be waiting on the other end before I get through. But usually you're just a second behind the other person. You may even be in the same ride vehicle or maybe in the next one.
Possible.
Yeah, but there's not a long wait there. So good. Number five, uses the single rider line for Test Track. So last one, number six, is back over to me, and I am going to talk about the golf ball, as we like to call it sometimes on the show when Kathleen joins me, or Spaceship Earth. So Spaceship Earth is a Group B or a Tier 2 item, and I would say it's not necessarily the best one to use. But if you're at a point where, you know, you've got to pick something else in your Group B, I would say Spaceship Earth is something you could choose. But I think if you watched the timing of when you plan to go on Spaceship Earth, you might be able to save that Group B for something else. So many people see Spaceship Earth first thing in the day and they want to go on it. That makes sense. It's right there. It's big and up front. But usually the line for Spaceship Earth is longest early in the day. So if you can arrange your path of travel so that you have a chance to come back to Spaceship Earth later in the day, say afternoon, the wait is usually pretty low. So I would say you can skip FastPass Plus for Spaceship Earth if you have a way to ride it later in the day. If you're planning to ride Spaceship Earth first thing in the day, then, well, it may be a good use of your Group B, but just make sure that you think about the timing of when you want to go. So my tip would pretty much be ride Spaceship Earth later and save that Group B for something else. Unless you want to ride it first thing, then use a FastPass Plus for Spaceship Earth.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, Spaceship Earth, a golf ball, that's the icon of the park. And especially for first-time visitors, they just go right there. It's right there in your face. It's the first line you can get on. Everyone's excited. They want to get on an attraction right away. So if you're not there at rope drop and you're going to sleep in maybe an hour or so and mosey into the park around 10 a.m. And the park's already been open an hour and a half, then you may want to consider using the Fast Pass at that time. Otherwise, come back in the afternoon. The line is usually, you know, not long at all.
Yeah, good. Okay, I like this topic, the top six tips for using Fast Pass Plus at Epcot. So number one, understand the tiers. Number two, Fast Pass one headliner, like Soarin' or Test Track, and then hit the other attraction first thing in the day. Number three, consider the best uses for your Tier B, like Mission Space. Number four, consider the worst uses for your Tier B, like Journey into Imagination. Number five, consider using the single rider line for Task Track. And number six, ride Spaceship Earth later in the day, or if you really want to ride it first thing and you're not walking in the park right when it opens, then maybe you could use FastPass Plus for Spaceship Earth. Okay, Kathleen, thanks for going through that list with me.
Oh, sure, Herb. And I just want to add onto why Spaceship Earth would be not busy later in the day. It's because most people are in the World Showcase later in the day. So all your crowds have been, you know, dispersed towards the back of the park. So the front of the park sees a lot less action. That is the reason behind it not being so crowded later in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Very good tip. Yeah, and I think that can have an impact on some of the other things in Future World as well, like maybe not Soarin' or Test Track. Those seem to be perpetually busy. But some of the other things that you might check out, like Living with the Land or The Seas with Nemo and Friends, if you're able to do them later in the day, often the lines are a lot lower.
Excellent.
Good. All right, Kathleen, so can you tell us what you're up to these days and how people can get in touch with you?
Sure. I am always getting down to business, Herb, anytime, any day. That's what I'm doing. You can find me at getdowntodisness.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And as I've said before, and I hope people have heard me before, we host bi-monthly meetings called Disney Meetings, where we chat for about an hour about all things Disney. It's, you know, it's free to join up, and we just answer whatever questions you have. It's me and a panel of Disney travel professionals, and we just love talking about it and helping folks plan their vacations.
A great spot to come if you want to get some quick answers to your questions about Walt Disney World. So the Disney meetings are a lot of fun on Facebook. I highly recommend them.
Thank you.
Okay, Kathleen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Herb. As always, it was a pleasure chatting with you.
Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land.
Well, we've made it through the list of the top six tips for using FastPass Plus at Epcot, but our conversation isn't over. Let me know what you think. Stop by and visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/48. That's a page that works well on tablets, desktops, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, like Brian, who wrote, "I enjoy your articles and your site very much." Thanks, Brian. I'd love to hear from you, too. It's easy to get in contact with me. Let me know what you think about today's show, or just stop by and say hi. Send me an email, info@worldofwalt.com. Leave a voicemail message for me at 407-391-5023, and I may play it on the air. Number three, leave an online voicemail message at worldofwalt.com/voicemail, or follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would tell someone else about it. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the folks who listen to the podcast and visit the show notes page. Head over to the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/48, and there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. So to close out the podcast for today, I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles, enter sweepstakes for great prizes, and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.